This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, this is David. Halloween is all about having fun with things that normally scare us, like zombies and ghosts. But what about the fears that don't come with costumes? Therapy can be a helpful way to face those fears and work through them. After all, sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears at all and letting them hold us back. If you have ever wondered if therapy can help you become the best version of yourself, I recommend trying BetterHelp. It's all online, making it convenient and flexible to fit any schedule. Just answer a quick questionnaire, and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime without any extra cost. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/living today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P .com/living. Thank you. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from a baccalaureate address delivered to the first graduating class of Franklin and Marshall College by John Williamson Nevin in 1853. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the point of it all? These are eternal questions asked by every man and woman who has ever lived. The true destination of humankind, the proper end of our being and life, lies beyond the present world in an order of things which are supernatural. And it is absolutely necessary that you should know this, and have supreme regard for this fact, in order that you may not live in vain. This is the theme on which I plan to speak with you today, the one great thought I wish to bring before you, and to leave with you, in the full earnestness of its own proper consequences and relations. May the spirit of all truth and grace serve to fix deeply and lastingly in your minds the living force of the thought itself, so that it shall be found hereafter the pole star of your existence, lighting it onwards and upwards through immortality. The organization of the world, as a system of nature, comes in its completion in you. You were made in the image of God, and thus are the perfection of nature, the crown of its glory, the very center of life itself. In you the world comes to its last, deepest, fullest significance and sense, in your soul, in your intelligence, in the self-acting power of your will. You are the consummation of nature. You unfold the entire volume of its wealth. It comes to its full efflorescence only in you. But despite all of this, or rather we might say for this very reason, the life which belongs to you is always something incomplete, a form of existence which manifestly does not find its full and proper end in itself, but needs and seeks continually some higher and different level of things. In this respect, humankind differs from the mere animal and the plant. Though the fullness of nature be in us, far more than it is in them, we cannot, like them, rest in it as the whole comprehension of our being. They do so just because they are less than nature in its full sense. their existence is rounded in by it on all sides and made complete after its own kind in the bosom of the general life by whose stream they are born. But humanity is itself the end of nature, the point where its whole process reaches its ultimate destination. How then should you find in it your own destination or end? Well, to begin, let us remember that the life of nature is designed to be in you the beginning only, and a preparation for a life above nature, and that you can fulfill your destiny only by entering into heartfelt communication with the powers of this supernatural life, and by proposing it to yourself always as your last object and aim. The world, as a system of nature, completes itself in you, becomes in you a moral world, a world of intelligence and active will, in order simply that it may, through you, become linked with another system far more glorious than itself. In itself, the world is made up of perpetual revolution and change. The fashion of it is forever passing away. Its best realities are always like a dream or a shadow. Creation looks upwards towards humankind from all sides, so that by you and through you, it may be enabled, as it were, to transcend itself and to make room thus for a new, higher creation in which all its transitory show shall be brought finally to an end. The human mind, while it forms the natural summit and necessary crown of nature, includes in itself also what surpasses entirely the measure of this creation: capacities, affinities, tendencies, inborn necessities and wants, which it has no power to satisfy, and that call continually for that which it does not contain. The soul within us finds it forever impossible to be either wholly or finally satisfied with the present world, and so long as it seeks to be so, is tormented continually with a sense of falsehood and vanity. Whatever it may be for lower orders of life, the present world is not, in any true sense, an end for humanity, and the attempt to make it so must always be felt as the power of a perpetually living lie, which carries along with it its own damning punishment wherever and however it prevails. There is no material difference between one form or another of such a worldly life. It may be rude or refined, grossly sensual or eminently spiritual. All comes to the same thing at last, an overwhelming confirmation of that old experience, vanity of vanities. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. The greatest vanity of all, perhaps, is science, walking among the stars in its own way, and yet never, in fact, transcending the universe of nature, the order of the world as it now stands, by a single act of faith. It is in the sphere of the spiritual and conscience that the relationship of our life to an order of things which is above and beyond nature comes most of all into view. Religion has no meaning except as it carries with it a reference always to some order of this sort, and without such reference there could be no place for it in the human spirit. Whether the religion be true or false is of no account as regards this point. What we are concerned with is simply the general idea of religion, the possibility of it in any form. No outward teaching or tradition, no divine revelation even, could cause religion to exist in any form among humankind if there were not in us previously a religious nature, a capacity for religion, needing to be called into exercise in this way. The sense of religion in some form is as universal as our human nature itself, and forms an inseparable part of its constitution. The want it expresses is felt to be the deepest, the end it seeks the most valuable, in the mysterious nature of our being. The supernatural, as related to the natural, must of necessity be miraculous. And the miraculous must ever meet an overwhelming contradiction from the universal experience of our present life, which is conditioned throughout by the world as it now stands. The world as it now stands has no power, it is true, to affirm supernatural realities in their own proper form. They lie over its horizon. Time points always towards eternity. Nature cries aloud for that which is higher, greater, and more enduring than itself. The world that now is, with we in the center of it, is a riddle whose burden we often can find no relief from, except in the thought of a world to come. The whole moral and spiritual side of humanity proclaims our supernatural destiny and leads us to acknowledge our relation to the invisible and eternal through all ages and times. False religions are no argument against the truth of spirituality itself. They only show how deeply seated the idea of religion is in the very constitution of humanity, how irresistibly this looks and tends towards what is beyond the world of nature for its proper completion, and how natural and reasonable it is, therefore, to believe that provision should be made for the satisfaction of so deep a want in some real way. All things are beautiful and strong in their place, but only as they obey the law of their nature, stand in their appointed sphere, and fulfill their original destination. And so humankind, as made at first in the image of God, and formed for immortality, can never be true to ourselves in any stage of our existence, in any sphere or department of our lives, except as we are brought to live supremely for this supernatural end and no other. This is for us emphatically the truth, the fundamental reality of things as they are and ought to be. For wisdom, as distinguished from mere knowledge or science, has to do with actual life, with truth in its practical relations to the will, as well as in its merely theoretic relations to the understanding. And it necessarily reaches its highest form accordingly where it comes to the perception and acknowledgement of what is in reality the chief end of our life. We often hear it said that knowledge is power. And this is true to a certain extent, no doubt, of all merely secular knowledge, as related to the ends of the present life. It is more in this regard than money, which is power also in a very high degree. In our own day, especially, science rules the earth and is fast subduing it to the service of secular purposes and ends. But it is, after all, only where knowledge takes its highest form, in the character of that practical, heavenly wisdom, which consists in understanding and acknowledging the true end of life as something to be found only in God and the eternal world, that it comes to be, at the same time, what is truly comprehended in the idea of power for humanity. Short of this, all science and art are at best but triumphs of mind over matter, in the sphere of nature itself. What is really needed, however, is that the soul should be brought to surmount the life of nature altogether, to acquire the mastery of itself, and overcome the world in the prosecution of its own proper destiny beyond the grave. For every purpose of this sort, all such secular science and art are perfectly powerless. The chief end of humankind, the last meaning of this life, is not comprehended in the present order of things, the passing diorama, in the midst of which we are here, carried forward continually to the grave. It lies in another world, in a system of things which is beyond and above nature, and so beyond the range and reach also of all merely natural understanding and knowledge. To be known and felt at all, then, this supernatural economy must be exhibited to us in the form of a divine revelation, which we are required to accept simply in this way, in order that we may make full proof of its power. Opinion, speculation, dreamy sentiment are not enough. The world in question is not made up of simply negatives and abstractions, but of facts, realities, and actual living relations, which need to be apprehended as they are, that we may be saved by the sense of them from the vanities of our present lives. And this precisely is what is accomplished for us by faith. It is the power of acknowledging the supernatural, the miraculous, the real presence of possibilities and powers and actual operations that go beyond all the resources of nature and surmount all its observed laws in a new order of life which is made to be actually at hand in the mystery of the Christ that lives within you, the Holy Spirit that is continually pushing you toward greater love, greater wisdom, greater imagination, greater joy.